We want this morning to take a look at a fascinating event. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Success after a very long night of failure. Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. Beginning with the first word in the first verse. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water. Let down your net and let down the nets for a catch." Verse 5. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And when they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I want us to step back and I want us to take a look at these 7 verses as a whole. What does this part of the story tell us as a whole? There are 2 things by way of introduction that I want you to see here. First, by way of introduction, I want you to know that what we have read here, that this is a story of failure. A story of failure. Look at verse 5. Peter says, "We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." This isn't just failure. This is total failure. This is complete failure. This is just utterly nothing. We haven't caught anything. This is a story of failure. But let me tell you something about this failure. These men failed when human reasoning says that they should have succeeded. They should have succeeded because these were professional fishermen. These weren't amateurs. This wasn't, you know, Cliff Russell and me down at the bank of the Detroit River drowning worms. If any men knew how to get fish out of that lake, it was these men. They failed. But human reasoning says they should have succeeded because, listen, fishing was their livelihood. This is how they fed their children. This is how they kept clothes on their backs and a roof over their head. These men, this is what they did for a living. They knew all the tricks to get the fish to come out of that lake. These men completely failed. But human reasoning says they should have succeeded because of how hard they worked to catch those fish.
Peter said, we have worked hard all night. Your translation may use the word toiled. The word in the verse means that they worked themselves to the point of exhaustion. They didn't go out there and fish a little bit and then fool around a little bit. They didn't go out there and work a while and then sleep a while. But these men all night worked themselves to the point of exhaustion to catch fish, and these men totally failed. I mean, in spite of their knowledge, in spite of their experience, in spite of all they knew about fishing, they caught nothing. They failed. Now let me tell you something about that. These men have something in common with you and me. Because all of us know something about failure. We know something about failure at home. Amen. We know something about failure on the job. We know something about failure in relationships. We know something, especially we know something about failing in the eyes of God. So what this is a story of failure. We have worked hard all night. We don't have anything. But now step back and look at the story again. Because not only is this a story of failure, this is a story of success. Look at verse 6 and verse 7. Verse 6 and verse 7. When we had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And when they came, they filled the boat so full that the boats began to sink. Are you getting this? Listen to me. Stay with me. We're going somewhere, but stay with me. These same men in the same water, in the same boat where they had been miserable failures, are now mighty successes. Do you see that? Now, let me tell you something about their success. Their success exceeded their own expectation. They were not expecting two boatloads. Listen to me. Hey, here it is. Jesus had more success in mind for them than they had in mind for themselves. In their mind, success was, well, if we can throw a net or a couple of nets over here and catch a couple of netful, that's success. In their mind, that was success. We'll catch a couple of netfuls. But in the mind of Jesus, success was not catching fish by the net full. It was catching fish by the boat full and the boat sinking. How many times collectively as a church? Does the Lord have more success in mind for us than we have for ourselves? Our thinking, well, if we can just get a few more, that is success. But in the mind of Jesus, it's like, listen, you got this boat here, fill it. And as individuals, you as an individual, me, how many times does the Lord have more success in mind for you than you have for yourself? Well, Lord, I can't do that. Well, Lord, No. But the Lord has success in mind for you. Now, we're about to make a turn here in this lesson, so stay with me. What we have before us this morning is a story of complete failure. What we have before us this morning is a story of tremendous success. So here is the question. The question this morning is, what turned this failure into success? You with me? In other words, look, we failed completely, and now we've succeeded above any of our expectations. My question is that between the failure and the success, what changed? What changed? What happens here that makes a long, long night of failure such a success? What happened between those two things? Let me share with you three things that happened here. The very first thing that happened is that they acknowledged their failure. They acknowledged their failure. What turned this all around is they acknowledged their failure. Look again at verse 5. Peter said, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." He acknowledges their failure. Brethren, listen to me. Nobody ever progresses beyond the point to where they're willing to admit failure. Nobody ever progresses beyond the point to where they're willing to admit failure. The first step in turning things around, the first step, listen, to improving any weakness is you have to first admit the weakness exists. Here's what I'm telling you. It all begins with coming clean with God. And until that happens, you're going to stay right where you're at. They colossally blew it, and now they got more success in it. What happened? The first thing, they acknowledged their failure. "Master, we worked hard at this all night, and we got nothing." Listen, it's time for you to come clean with God.
Let me ask you a question. How is your relationship with the Lord? Let me ask you another question, more important than that one. Are you willing to admit your failure? Are you willing to acknowledge your failure before God? Come on now. We're coming clean here. Is your failure attendance in the assembly? Is that your failure? Well, I come when I need to. I come when I want to. I come when it's convenient. Is this your failure? Listen, are you willing to acknowledge your failure? Until you're willing to acknowledge your failure, nothing is going to change. Now look, I get it. Sometimes life rolls over on you. And when life rolls over on you, you think to yourself, you know what, is it even worth the effort? Amen. I mean, is it even worth the effort to do what I got to do to get down there? Is anybody even going to know I was there? Is anybody even going to care that I was there? And when I'm gone this afternoon, is anybody even going to remember? Will people even remember I was there? Listen, I want to answer that question. I want to answer that. Is anybody going to remember you were here? God is going to remember you were here. God is going to remember. God gladly receives your praise and your worship of Him this hour. God will remember you were here. Well, who will even remember I was here tonight? I want to answer that. The other one who's going to remember you were here is the devil is going to remember you were here. The devil knows where you are. Did you hear me? The devil knows where you are. The devil knows what you're doing. And the devil would just love to discourage you so you quit. What are you talking about? I'm talking about coming clean with God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just acknowledging I'm a mess here. God is going to remember. The devil's going to remember. You know who else is going to remember you were here? You are going to remember. Something might be said today that'll help you. And you may say something to somebody that will help or encourage them. And if there's something more important going on Sunday morning than worshiping God, then please tell me what that is. Are you willing to acknowledge your failure? Maybe your failure is attendance in the assembly. Or maybe your failure is in your Christian duties. Outside of this place,
outside of these premises, when is the last time you prayed more than 5 minutes? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, write that down. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." What that verse tells you is it tells you what prayer is. Prayer is you pouring your heart out to God. What's more important than talking to God? What Bible study? Outside of these premises, when is the last time that you even read one chapter in that book? What's more important than God talking to you? God does not speak to us today through dreams and visions. God speaks to us today through His Word. Are you willing to come clean here? Are you willing to admit your failure? I'm acknowledging my failure. My attendance isn't what it ought to be. I'm not seeking my Christian duties like I ought to. Or maybe your failure isn't so much here, but it's at home. Your responsibility is at home. Listen, I'm not the husband, I'm not the father that I should be. Or I'm not the wife, I'm not the mother I ought to be. These men worked all night and got nothing. Nothing. And then it became a grand success. Listen. The first thing they did was acknowledge their failure. Lord, we did nothing here. Look. Stop making excuses. Stop pointing fingers at everybody else. Stop blaming everybody else. Nothing in your life will ever change until you acknowledge your failures. You see, well, preacher, now let me explain. See, stop! You got to make an excuse. Stop! Nothing will ever change in your life until you acknowledge your failure. So they went from failure to success because they acknowledged their failure. Now watch carefully the second thing that happened. The second thing that happened that turned this, what happened between failure and success? Number two, they got into agreement with the Word. Now look again, verse 5. Watch how this connects. Verse 5. Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing. That's the acknowledgement of their failure. Now look at the very next words. But Lord, because you say so, we're going to let down the net. What did they do? They got into agreement with the Word. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. Peter is saying, look, Lord, in spite of the fact that we have worked ourselves to exhaustion all night, and Lord, in spite of the fact that we know more about this fishing business than you do, because you say so, we're going to do this. That expression, because you say so, that ought to be the motto of every Christian. The greatest reason in the world, the biggest reason in the world to do anything is because Jesus said so. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know. I don't understand this. But because you say so, I'm going to do this. Lord, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me how the dots are all going to be connected here. But Lord, because you say so, that's what I'm going to do. They acknowledged their failure, and then they immediately got into agreement with what the Lord told them to do. Listen, you need to come clean with God. I need to come clean with God. And when we come clean with God, you come clean with God, and then you get into agreement with what he says to straighten it out. We need to get into agreement with the Word. We need to get into agreement concerning our priorities. Listen, we doing things first ought to be last. If the Lord's got something for me to do and I got something for me to do, I need to do what the Lord wants me to do. Verse we looked at last week, we're going to look at it differently. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. We need to get into agreement with the Lord's priorities. Now I want you to see what's in this verse. In this verse, there is a subject. Seek. Seek. The word is a continual seeking. Keep seeking. Keep looking. In this verse, there is a subject. Next, in this verse, there is a priority. Seek first. The subject is I'm seeking. The priority is I'm seeking first. First is what's before everything else. There is a subject, seek. There is a priority, first. Then in this verse, there is an object, the kingdom of God and its righteousness. The thing that I am to be constantly seeking first is God's kingdom and to do what's right in God's eyes, not my own eyes. And in this verse, there is a blessing. All of these things will be added to you. Now, are you listening? Until you get into agreement with this subject, until you get into agreement with that priority, until you get into an agreement with the object you're seeking, God's kingdom, then that blessing will never be yours. That blessing is dependent upon me getting in agreement with the Lord. We need to get into agreement with the Lord's word on what he said about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. If you will forgive others their sins against you, God will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. We need to get into agreement with that. We need to get into agreement with the Lord's word concerning how we ought to speak. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, each man shall give an account of himself on the day of judgment. Every idle word that man shall speak, he'll give an account. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. We need to get into agreement with that. We need to get into agreement with the Lord's word concerning our attitude. We need to get into agreement with the Lord's word concerning what our lives are really all about. Listen. we totally failed, and then we succeeded beyond our imagination. What happened? They came clean with God. Folk here who have never come clean with God, they acknowledge their failure. Well, Lord, I know I could do a little. No, you a mess there. You don't need to do a little better, do a lot better. They acknowledge their failure. They got into agreement with the word. Notice what happens third. There was accomplishments. There was accomplishment. Verse 6. When they had done so, when they did what? When they acknowledged their failure and when they got into agreement with what Jesus said, when they had done this, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. This is as simple as I can put it. When you are willing to acknowledge your failure, along with getting into agreement with His word, then always accomplishments are going to follow. Always accomplishments are going to follow. A man bought a new expensive piece of machinery for his workshop. This piece of machinery was supposed to make his work faster and easier on him. So he uncrated the machine, plugged it in, and instead of reading the instructions, he just started pushing buttons and turning knobs and flipping switches. And the machine didn't do anything except make a very loud, annoying noise. So he said, this machine is worthless. It's not doing anything it's supposed to do. So he started to crate the machine back up, and then his friend happens by. And his friend said, what are you doing? He said, I bought this machine. It was real expensive, and it's not doing anything it's supposed to do. So his friend asked him, well, did you read the instructions? So they unboxed it again. And he and his friend sit down together and began to read the instructions. And in a few moments, that machine was humming and doing exactly what it was supposed to do. Listen, the machine was never the problem. The problem is you ignored the instructions. That is exactly what happened in Luke 5. We've caught nothing. We've done nothing out here all night. And then it became a success. Why? Because they listened to the instructions of Jesus. And when you follow the instructions of Jesus, everything will change. You follow the instructions of Jesus, and if you're lost, everything will change. Believe. Well, why should I believe this? Because, brethren, listen, belief changes your heart. And then repent. Well, what does repent do? Repent changes your lifestyle. And then you are baptized. Well, why am I baptized? Because baptism changes your relationship with Jesus. You go from being out of Christ to being in Christ. So you believe and it changes your heart. You repent, it changes your life. And you're baptized because it changes your relationship with Jesus. If you're lost, listen, following the instructions of Jesus will change everything. If your home is a mess, your marriage is a mess, following the instructions of Jesus will change everything. Acknowledge your failure. Just come clean with God. Get out somewhere in the thicket and just talk, God, look at me. Then get off your knees and get into agreement with what this says. And if you do, your life will change and there'll be accomplishments. This morning, if not now, when? Come clean with God. If you need to respond, do it right now.